Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Just gone 7:50 Central African time, and that time of the morning where you join us on the segment called Straight Talk with Ahmad Paruk. Councillor Ahmad Paruk making waves like the Indian Ocean. There he is in Itikweni. Yeah, where everything happens in Itikweni. Money, this, that, everything. But our very own Ahmad Paruk has got that under control. And Ahmad, I can tell you this morning, we've got news at 8, and inshallah we will continue after the 8 o'clock news. But in the meantime, we will be continuing with our discussion. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And how are you doing this fine, a beautiful morning, Ahmad Paruk? Councillor Ahmad Paruk.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan to all our radio listeners. Alhamdulillah. Itikweni, the problem council in the 9th province we have. And now you'll hear today, you cannot even open your tap to drink the drinking water from your tap. At one stage, we could just open the tap and drink water. Today you won't be able to do that because the water has got bacteria in it. So we have got another drama sitting on our table from as of this week. So we are firing up to fight all over to make sure that we restore water for our community and make sure that they get plenty of drinking water, Shafat.
You know, Ahmad, I tell you, I got a message. It says, Brother Shafat, I really enjoy you and Ahmad Paruk on Straight Talk, but you guys sometimes forget to talk about your kafan dafan. You know what? Our apologies for that, because Ahmad has so much to give us, and sometimes we overlook that. But Ahmad, you know, let's make the listener happy, because this is what they knew us for, kafan dafan. Perhaps a quick report on that, and then we'll continue with our Straight Talk. You know, a little bit about kafan dafan. What's the latest there, Ahmad?
Shafat, alhamdulillah, you know, on the kafan dafan side, we are very quiet at the moment. There is one issue that we are coming through on the 17th of this month, that is on Tuesday, where we will be meeting the head of pathology in the KZN, where they have given us the problem on the Park Rani mortuary, where they took 7 days to release the body of our brother Sayed, who was shot in the month of April, in Ramzan time. And now we have taken it very, very strongly with the national government, and they have called up a meeting for us to we have said in no uncertain terms that, you know what, in terms of the law, we want our bodies. We can't wait 7 days. We don't have facilities for storage or anything like that. And you can't just keep our body for indefinitely. And you, because you have a problem that the pumps are not working, and one of the managers is an anti-Muslim, and he has put us in the back burner to not get our body on time. So we have taken it very, very strongly, and then inshallah we got a meeting this week, and then we got major problem from Cape Town, where they have signed an MOU with the Department of Health, that is the mortuary. You know, previously the Department of the mortuary forensic facility was run by the South African Police Department. They have taken that away many years ago, and they are running it, and they're not doing a good job at all at the moment. And now they have signed an MOU with the Department of Health, and now they say they will be able to get storage facility at the mortuary. Now, this has caused a big problem for me and for the Muslim community in this country, because we have got a standing order where our bodies need to be released in certain time, and we have got the Muslim community, the Hindu and the Jewish community, they have got a special standing order that whenever the body comes for postmortem, whether it's weekend, longer, providing it has come at 7 in the morning and released at 6 in the evening, they must do the postmortem. So this is a problem. Now I'm faced with another challenge that Cape Town have already signed this MOU. I'm still waiting for the document. It seems like they just don't want to give me this documentation, because they know what blunders they have made, but I'm going to take this thing up very, very strongly. Even if I have to make an application to go to court, I'm going to take it up, because I'm not going to allow that, because now they have set a precedent, and that is caused a huge issue. Cape Town has made another big blunder this week, that they have, the municipality, there's a noise control they have accepted it. Like, so if you have accepted that noise control, that you cannot have loud music, you cannot have azan, and they have already accepted that, they have signed that MOU in the council. That has caused another issue, because now, we have won the Constitutional High Court for azan in Constitutional Court. That precedent was set by a person in Spingo Beach, and it took us almost 2 years to fight that case, and now we have won that case. Now they have went and put something else in place. Now, I can't understand how our people sitting in council, are they in Cape Town, the MJC is there. Issues like that, why are they not picking it up? And yet, majority of our Muslim community are in Cape Town. So I cannot understand how these things are just getting legislated, getting passed, they're signing MOUs without proper consultation with all the other role players in the country. I just can't understand, Shafat.
3 minutes before we go to the news, Ahmed. But a quick question here is, Ahmed Farak, recently there was a big hue and cry about no spaces in graveyards. But if you look at the different provinces, the nine provinces, which province has the most space for graves? Now, a good question there, Ahmed.
Shafad, in the country, there is no such thing, there is no space, because we recycle. When you recycle, in every 5 to 7 years, we have got a grave opening up all the time, because we're doing it on the recycled way. And furthermore, because some of the cemeteries have got private graves, and that way you might have a problem where the place is getting full or something like that. And with COVID coming in play at the moment, so that might be. But generally, we don't have a problem because of our recycling method. Yes, we're looking for more cemetery space, which takes 2 to 3 years to get it passed. But the problem is, for the non-Muslim, yes, there is huge problem with cemetery space at the moment. But when it comes to Muslim, I don't think there's a huge shortage, but we are looking for more cemetery space, Shafat.
And talk about cemetery spaces and our Kabristan being taken care of, and alhamdulillah, full marks to those that do that. And Ahmed, you were hands-on, and when you ran the Kabristan, it was spick and span. Is it still the same, Ahmed, all over KZN?
Alhamdulillah, Shafat, when it came to KZN, Kabristan, graveyard, in tip-top condition compared to some of the other provinces. When I've been there, and I've always went on radio, and some of them said, you don't talk about this thing, talk to the relevant role players. But you know what? People go to the graveyard. What about the community, Muslim community, go to the graveyard? Can't they see the graveyard is not tip-top condition? You know what? Your resting place is going to be there. Your last abode is going to be there. But why we don't keep that thing? You keep your house clean, your garden clean, but you won't make, when it comes to cemetery, why don't you get 20, 30 people or 10 people? Even if you have to pay them 100 rands a day, they once a month get it cleaned up. But people don't do that today. That's the problem. And some of the cemetery and a graveyard in the country are in a bad, bad condition, Shafat. Really bad condition.
Ahmed, I remember when we were lighties, how we used to take a spade and, some cutters and go and clean the graveyard. We used to make that a habit at least once a week. We used to go and do that. We had that passion. But now some will say, hey, there's so much of these vandalism taking place, or these people getting hijacked at the Kabristan, and these are some of the reasons why they don't do that. And very quickly, your response on that, Ahmed?
Shafat, all these are excuses. If you want to do something, and when you do Allah's work, nothing, there's no, people make one person get hijacked in 3 years, they'll make a big story about it. From a mole to make a mountain about it. But the thing is, if you get the people, get your family on a Sunday morning, just go and spend an hour, what a difference is going to make to the graveyard, the entrance, you sweep the entrance, you kick, you weed the place, the bricks with the rain, you know, the bricks, the side walls normally fall. You just fill it up with a little bit of sand, put some plants in it. Make sure you put some creepers where you don't even have to maintain it. It looks green throughout the years. You know, these are the things, you know, I have always introduced. And some of the schools, Islamic school, that I made arrangement prior, you know, when I was the head of Islamic Burial Council, they used to, you know, we make one Sunday, they used to bring the parents and the children used to come there, and we used to give them each block they used to do it. In no time, the cemetery was ship-shape condition, Chapa.
Absolutely, absolutely brilliant there, Ahmed Parak.
Yes, away, Sir Mijaki. NATO, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. Yeah, who are involved in NATO? Hey, they do all the different things. But carrying on with the straight talk with our very own counselor, Ahmed Parak. Ahmed, moving on, and you know, we're talking about many scenarios are taking place. And he says that drinking water here in KZN, hey, you can't even drink your tap water. So we also notice that the trucks are still coming through. Are they coming from Gauteng to Tongaat? And Tongaatu, I mean, it's amazing that, you know, the Muslim brothers are still sending trucks upon trucks. I mean, these big carriers of tankers coming through. Ahmed, your thoughts?
Shafat, the tankers that we're using, local tankers here from Itigwini, that assisting, especially Tongaat, where you got 80,000 people for the next 4 to 6 months, you're not going to have water. But the bottled water that is coming, in fact, yesterday, Action SA, we brought in to assist in Stanga. We also brought it to assist in Tongaat. The bottled water is coming from our brothers and sisters, mainly from Gauteng, coming down to KZN, and we're assisting whoever we can in the whole of KZN, where people are badly affected, especially in Amlazi, Mashu, Fulweni, Barron Hill, Tongaat, Verulam, that is very, very badly affected, as well as Tanga as well. And wherever they need water, we are there to make sure that we supply them with drinking bottled water, as well as tankers, giving them. And what we are doing also, we are also putting JoJo's, as well as we're doing is to put boreholes to make it easier for them to see if they, we can, you know, supplement to the release some of the pressure that we have got at the moment. So this is what we are doing at the moment. But alhamdulillah, it's working. But, you know, the issue is to get Tongaat up and running. We are looking like close on to 20 million to get that pumped and everything completely done up, and all this equipment is not locally made. Most of them comes from Germany, and this is how the system works. So we have already put in motion what we are doing at the moment. Especially Tongaat is very, very badly affected, and some of the other areas is to try and see which other way we can circumvent to give them drinking water. That is our biggest priority at the moment, Shafat.
Many people are talking about boreholes, and they say, you know, every second or third house wants to dig in the yard and put a borehole. What are some of the, you know, repercussions or the, you know, after effects of having boreholes all around your area? Wouldn't that cause a problem, Ahmed, and maybe the water will be all taken away? What's your thoughts on that, Ahmed?
Shafat, you know, I will give you one or two weeks. Example, if you go to Spingobi Talimuddin Madrasa, and you'll see they also put a tap on the outside. People don't even have to go inside their premises, and you can pick up borehole water. You take Musgrave Masjid, we have got a purifying system and a borehole. And Shafat, if you come and make wazoo from that water, you'll never ever make it out that was borehole water. So some of the water content is very, very good. Your question in terms of every second, third home want to put a borehole, yes, there won't be still shortage, because, you know, either you can get water or you can't get. You need to go like to, you know, 200 to 300 meters sometime to get water. And sometimes you when you go pushing the shaft for to get the borehole water, you might not get it because you've got clay and you've got major obstacle on the way. And some places you get in some in one road you might only get three three houses might be able to get water, the seven couldn't get water. You know, this is how this the borehole system works. So end of the day, borehole is good, and you need a pump, a very, very good pump to be put on there as well as, and if you want to purify it, you also put another pump to purify the water, and you there's some water content, you boil it, and you can even use it for cooking and everything else. So, but you cannot drink from there direct. But if you take some of the quality of water that we are picking up from the borehole where we send it for the test to the lab, you can even drink it. You're not going to have a problem. And if you take, if you go to Riverside at the Sufi Mazar, they are purified. They got water, Shafat. You won't believe it. You go there and you drink that water direct from the borehole. You're not even going to get diarrhea. You're not going to get sick. We did a test, especially from the Riverside Mazar water, where they're getting the water from the borehole, Shafat. And they have did a test from the lab, and the results came, and I was fortunately part and parcel to have a look at the content and the quality of the water. And Shafat, what a beautiful drinking water that is. And they cannot cope at the moment in bottling those water. And you know a lot of people take that water, especially to go and buy water from there just to drink that water, because water quality, what a beautiful water you can get from there, Shafat.
I need to go with you one day then, have lots and lots of water with you, Adam. I mean, Ahmed, and I'll be really going to enjoy that. And they also talk about Cape Town having lots of underwater streams and, quality water. There's about 14, 15 different types of streams there. And I believe when they're sending water to us here in Durban, they were getting it from these underwater streams. Ahmed, your comments?
Shafat, they're getting, so that's why when we make it very, very clear from whoever we're getting water from the country, if it's drinking water or if it's borehole waters. In most cases, Al Indar was delivering water to everyone as well. They tell them, this water here, this is, we're giving you bottled water, you drink. This coming from the tank, this is, you fill your JoJo tanks and you can use it for everything else. So it make it very, very easy for the people on the ground, the community, to make sure that which water you are drinking. In some borehole water, the contents, the iron is too heavy, you might get sick with it, and might, in some places you might pick up bacteria that is in the water that your children, and you might get sick as well. So therefore, it is advisable if you first find out before you drink the water. For now, in Tegwini, my personal view, and since I'm a counselor of Action SA, and I sit in the Tegwini, do not drink from the tap, because we have, if you read this morning Sunday Tribune, it will give you a huge article. Do not drink from the tap, because we have already picked up bacteria.
Kullu Mafi, for that, the gremlins are setting up, and you were so eloquently giving us an update on many things and the issues that were about boreholes and so forth. I want us to move on, Ahmed, and inshallah address an issue that I see in front of me, and it's on the screen. And we'll read that now, and alhamdulillah for the benefits of the listeners. And, one thing, Ahmed, when you come on, a lot of people do react with us, and we really do appreciate all your messages that you bring in through. So, Ahmed, I'll be reading this for you, and in the meantime, hope our live feed comes right, and alhamdulillah, Boniface working very fervently to get it right, alhamdulillah. And this says, Dear Shafaat at the Marcus Consciously Connected, Assalamu alaikum to Mufti A.K. Hussein, and Assalamu alaikum to Councillor Ahmed Parak. I pray Allah Ta'ala makes you president as soon as possible, Ahmed Parak. In the meantime, I don't think there is merit to say ANC metros won't service DA areas. In the first place, ANC never serviced any area. That is why South Africa is crumbling and collapsing in disaster. So we
failed everyone, even with their own ANC councillor. You must blame all the parties, including the Afrikaner parties, together to take over the government. Allah bless you, Councillor Ahmed Parak, Hafez Rahman from Aswane.
Firstly, I must say that.
Keep up the great work. Ahmed, how do you respond to Hafez Aswane, Ahmed?
Hafizah, firstly, I must say for the good compliments you gave me, inshallah. If Allah wills, one day we will be a president of the country and we'll fix as much as we can. We will try our best. But for us, the position is concerned that the ANC is failing. Yes, the ANC is failing. ANC is failing us more. Wherever there is, what I said also previously, wherever there is DA controlling that ward, you're not going to get service because the ANC is not one of their ward members are not there, and the DA member is there. That's where our clashes are. That's where we are come in very strongly as from Action SA. We are fighting to make sure that all areas, including the ANC ward, DA ward, whether it's Action SA ward, wherever it is, we need to give service delivery because people are paying tax. When you pay tax, you need to get service delivery and you need to get value for your money while you're paying tax. Tax you are paying because you need quality water, you need electricity, you need roads, infrastructure, or your verges need to be cut. Everything has to be in place. That's where you're paying your taxes for. Now, when you don't, if you was not paying tax and then they don't give you delivery, that's another story. But in our case, if you don't pay your rates and tax, and they made it very, very hard for the community and everyone, is that now they put your billing system, everything into one. Previously, you used to have one for your electricity, one for your water, and one for your rate. They combined it and they bought three into one. So even if you didn't pay your rates, they still disconnect you. So your light was up to date, your water was up to date, you're making sure that your water and light account is always up to date, but you didn't pay your rates, they disconnect you. This is the problem that our people are facing all over at the moment because that's the only way. And furthermore, they are even disconnecting schools and the Department of Health and all other government entities because they haven't paid the bills. So that's where we need money badly. But your service delivery shouldn't be stifled because you got DA in that ward or whoever you have got, another counselor is not one of ANC members there. So that's why you can't give. This is how ANC is actually punishing us because they have not got full control of that in that municipality. That's where our problem comes in now. So we are doing our utmost best. So if you take the city here in Itigwini, they got 94 seats, and previously they had 129 seats. So you know now they can't get away in a lot of things. But yet that 94, and you get the smaller parties, they'll make up the 108 votes they need, and that's how they're bombarding us. But the time has come for them. 2024 is around the corner, and if we uproot them from national and province, it will filter down to the municipality, and eventually we will have a coalition government, and we will give our community much better service delivery than they're getting at the moment, Shafat.
Then you can see that the listener really respects you and tells you, you know, you can unify people and bring them all together. And, you know, he's giving you du'as. He wants you to be the next president of the country, Ahmed. Your response to that?
Alhamdulillah, you know, I would, if Allah wills, anything can happen. You know, Shafat, what we need, even if I don't become the president of the country, you will get somebody who is prepared to lead this country in the right direction and make it better for the community and give them housing, give them water, electricity. This electricity water issue is going to be for the next 5 years now. In fact, I'm telling everyone, you don't have one problem at your doorstep. At the moment, you got water and electricity. Previously, we only had the problem of electricity. Now you got a double dose. Now you got water and electricity. And I'm telling everyone, whoever can afford it and get put a borehole in his yard and make sure you get a right pump and you get a purifier for your water. You at least you know for the next 5 years, you know you're not going to have much problems or anything like that.
Looking at the message here, Sabir says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed Parak and Shafaat, top show. I want to ask Ahmed, I can't afford a borehole, so can he make a plan for JoJo's? Do I have to buy it or do people donate JoJo's to us? How do you respond to Sabir, Ahmed?
Firstly, Jojo, we can sponsor. We don't have a problem. You got to give us. You can give it. Give us your address where you are. We can sponsor him, Jojo. That's not an issue. But borehole is very, very expensive. First, you got to do the test whether you will have water in your yard or not. So all that is an expensive game. We are doing it such a way that wherever we can help in terms of, especially in rural areas and all, where they have got no water, it's not like a built-up area where you're getting drinking water from the municipality or anything, where you cannot get water and we have to depend on mainly the tankers and all. That's where we are concentrating on. We put boreholes there. But in built-up areas where you need a Jojo tank, 2,000-liter Jojo tank, yes, we can access that, brother. It's not a problem.
Jazakallah khair for that, Ahmed. Then, thinking aloud here, what would it cost, the feasibility study of, bringing in the experts, checking up whether they got water in your yard? The whole, the whole expedition of putting a borehole in your yard. What's the price, Ahmed?
Shafat, it can cost you anything from 50,000 to 150,000.
Okay, straight like that, people. 50,000. Yeah, 250,000, depends with the purification and so forth. Looking at this question, it says, Assalamu alaikum, Shafaat. Straight Talk program is just what we need. Jazakallah, my brother, for bringing in Councillor Ahmed Parak. I voted for him. Well, good for you. He says, I'm sending a picture below. Okay, I said, I've sent you this picture. It's just here on me, Ahmed. But he says, please explain what is coming. Why are we going to have problems with water? What is going on? Jazakallah, my team, Maulana Gangad. I'm looking at the picture. It says South Africa will face a water crisis worse than an electricity disaster, MPs are told. And I think this was Nkunu talking to a parliament. What will happen then? You know, we're going to have a worse water crisis than electricity. It seems as if the ANC is very good in giving you news of doom, Ahmed.
Shafat, you know, firstly, you know, I attended about 2 weeks ago, the conference for climate change. You know, now there's new thing they call it climate change. They've got all over the world. They have this seminars regarding climate change. And yes, there's a lot of things good come out from this climate change. But you know, people must always remember that, you know, when it comes to climate change and all that, you can be the best scientist in the world. They haven't. You know, the city and our airport, normally they've got a special department there. They will know when the rain is going to come, when the wind is going to be, when it's high tide, when all this information they normally gather and they give it to the community and they give it to the press. They haven't, firstly, when it came to the looting in last year, July, the intelligence and the South African police were taking with two eiderdowns and they were sleeping, Shafat. That's the same thing happened with this the water, what the disaster, the rains we had in Ramzan, just before Ramzan, where every system of our KZN was like gone. There was nothing. Before that, because they haven't serviced, they haven't maintained our reservoirs, they haven't fixed our infrastructure, everything. Now this rain came and cleaned it up totally, and there's beyond repair now. Now you have to completely put new, in other words, instead of your car, you have to repair, you can't repair it, you have to buy a brand new car. That's it. That's what we have to do. We have to put brand new system, cabling, pumps for water, everything is doomed. We have to start from scratch to put it up. So this is where our big problem is concerned. So that brother from the government is talking, he is right in that, because there is a problem, because with the climate change, and you know, we depend on rain to fill in all our dams and all that. Alhamdulillah, for now, our dams are quite full, but down the line, you know, previously we had drought and all, there was no water or anything, that dams were actually dried up too. This thing can happen again. So you know what? We have to, you know what? I can't understand, Shafat. You know, all these things are knocking at our door. Telling us that, you know what, there is problem with water, there is problem with electricity. These were knocking at our door, telling us these are the problems we are faced with. But nobody is taking heed of it in government to say, you know what, there is a problem. Down the line, this is what's going to happen to us. But they're not looking at the bigger picture. And they, you know, this is the problem that we are faced with. They're just doing a quick fix now. And then 2-3 months, 1 year later, that whole pump has given up. Now we have to wait for the pump to come from Germany or some parts to come from overseas. That's the problem.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant there, Ahmed. And also, you know, people are talking about alcohol and the breathalyzers and the police are testing people up. And many say, you know, a lot of these politicians that go to parliament and those that are at council, many of them go to work drunk and they should be subjected to breathalyzers. What's your take on that? And is there any update? What happens to councillors, MPs and so forth? Are they tested before they get into a session, Ahmed?
Shafat, there's no legislation that a councillor or an MP or any one of the government employee is supposed to be taking a breathalyzer test. But in government, that is. But you take industries, yes, they have got a policy that when a person enters his gate, he's taken, especially because of COVID from 2019, they take a COVID, they do a test, they take your pressure test, they do all that, and you fill in the what your pressure for that day is, and then they take a breathalyzer test, and then the guy is allowed to go inside his building. But in government, there's no legislation have been put in place that we are allowed to do that. And because, and if you go and do that, you know, you will be sued. So that is the problem that we are faced with. But there is a legislation that is pending that I haven't seen it been approved by the government yet. If that comes in play, then obviously then they will be able to have to do that. You have to take your pressure as well as a breathalyzer test. That's where we are at the stage.
Yeah, absolutely, Ahmed, and alhamdulillah, you know, you're walking the talk. Lots of complimentary letters coming through, and Allah bless you for that. Keep up the good work, and you know, when you do good, besides the people acknowledging you, also, you know, Allah blesses you, Ahmed. Perhaps your parting words this morning.
Shafat, you know, we, alhamdulillah, we must make Allah's lakhlak. Shukr that, you know what, we have got food on our table, we got water, we're getting electricity coming, going, not coming, you know, for a few days and all. But look at it, when you go to Fulweni, you go to Maran Hill, when there's the, you know, you, Maran Hill is broken into two parts because the road and the bridge has been washed away. So there's two parts. There's only one way we're sending water and food and everything is to the military helicopters that they're supplying them. So we must take shukr Allah, shukr Allah, shukr that alhamdulillah, Allah blessed us. We got food on our table. Our children have got food on our table. We're getting light. We don't get light sometimes. We got water. We don't get. But we are making shukr. Go to the areas where they're suffering for the last 1 week. I mean, 1 month now. Is going on to the fifth week, like when you got 80,000 people in one place in Tonga, you haven't got the whole entire Tonga don't have water, and you go to areas, Fulweni, Amlazi, and all these places, they haven't got nothing, they haven't got a roof. I have given them, you know, the thick plastic you get just to give them temporary shelter. That is how bad it is. So, you know what, we must make dua that Allah make it easy for our community and take them out of this poverty, what they are in at the moment, Shafa.
You know, Ahmed, as you said, Allah, we should make shukr to Allah for giving us three meals. And I'm smelling something good coming from your kitchen. What are you having for breakfast, Ahmed?
Inshallah, we don't know yet. Inshallah, in the next hour, we will know what's on the table, Shabbat.
Yeah, I thought you'd say lovely, you know, bedu with a soft roti and some sauce on the side. But anyway, we'll let you go, Ahmed. You keep up the good work. And next week, inshallah, we'll be talking to you on Straight Talk with Councillor Ahmed Parak. You have a mashallah, mashallah day ahead, and I'll talk to you next week. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.